As many of you know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about believers or Christians being sheepish, talking about how followers of Jesus Christ are like sheep, and he calls them as sheep. He says, "My sheep know my voice, I know them, I call them by name, they listen to me, they follow me, and they're mine. All that the Father has given me are mine, they're in my hands, and no one can take them out of my hands." In the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the needs of the sheep, the Christians or followers of Christ. And first, we talked about the first need being protection. You need to protect sheep, lest they die or be attacked or be devoured by the enemies and the wolves and the coyotes and so forth. Last week, we did talked about sheep, secondly, needing nourishment or feeding or food to strengthen them, to encourage them, to sanctify them, both physically and spiritually, and how Jesus, as our Good Shepherd, does that. The third thing that sheep need, and probably need most of all, as do Christians or followers of Jesus Christ, is peace. Peace. Just good old peace. When I say the word peace, it means something to everyone. And I know all of you, when I say peace, P-E-A-C-E, what does that mean to you? Everybody thinks a little differently about what the word peace means. To some, peace means a certain place. A place where they might go to rest. A place where they might go to find a certain feeling where no one can find them. They can escape the world for a while. To some people, peace is a state of mind that we might find ourselves in, and being relaxing, maybe reading a good book, takes our minds away from the stress of the world and all that we're going through. Some people say, well, when someone dies, they say, well, they're at peace now. So peace means different things to us at different times. As I look out my back study window at the parsonage, I look out over the back fields, the farm fields there, to the mountains, and as the crops grow up and get higher as they go, I watch as the winds come down out of the gap and wave over the crops there, no matter what they are. And it's just a beautiful scene on a sunny day, and it gives me a sense of peace, knowing that as the wind blows, so does the Holy Spirit. We don't know where it comes from and where it goes, but we can see its power and its working. And I know in my heart with blessed assurance that the Holy Spirit is at work that very moment in the hearts of so many people, and that God is in complete control of the world. Many years ago, we heard of one of the prominent insurance companies. Their slogan was, "Get a piece of the rock," stating that if you had investments with them and invested certain ways, you could know a sense of peace about your future, especially in implying your financial future. There was also a place up on North Mountain that I used to drive by often on my travels, sign out along the road going back to someone's cabin. Would say, "This is the land of gentle breezes where peaceful waters flow." And as I would drive by and read that sign, it would give me a sense of peace because it would give me a picture in my mind of how peaceful it must be back there and a wonderful place to be. Ultimately, peace is something that we all long for. It's in our hearts. It's born in us, wanting peace. And until there's peace inside us, we as human beings will never be happy. So we say, all right, what's that word peace mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean when you say peace? I don't want you to confuse, and we cannot confuse peace with happiness and satisfaction. Because biblically, and in our dictionaries today, in our English dictionaries, happiness and satisfaction have to do with pleasure and contentment. They're worldly. All right? In other words, we can obtain them from the world, happiness and satisfaction. But the fact that they are worldly means that they also dissipate and disappear and are no more. They can be destroyed by an outside influence. Our happiness and our satisfaction. Happiness and satisfaction is human-centered, man-centered. So when we talk about peace, biblically and in our English language, it means a completely different thing. And that's what I want you to see this morning. as we go along. We say, what does peace mean? Peace, interestingly, is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of war. It's not the absence of sound. It's not the absence of noise. When you look it up in Webster's dictionary, it will tell you that peace is freedom from war. Freedom from war. In other words, what it's implying is, although there's war around you and things going on around you, you're free from that. You have a sense of peace. You're separate from that. There's just something about you that says, even though all this is going on, I feel something different. I'm not disturbed by it. I feel peace. It also is defined as law and order. When you have that feeling, you have it because you know that there's a special order and a special law to all things, and the one that's in charge of that is Almighty God. And that brings you a sense of peace. Let's go on. In the Bible, in a Bible dictionary, in the Old Testament, peace was a word of greeting. We remember Jesus coming to his disciples after he was resurrected. He came to them and he said, "Peace be with you." It was a greeting. Peace. Peace. When he was going to leave them and sat in the upper room with them, he said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I'm passing this on, this peace." And it's this word peace is used throughout the Bible to indicate a spirit of tranquility. A spirit of tranquility and freedom from inward and outward disturbances. In other words, nothing's going to disturb you inwardly or outwardly because you have a spirit of tranquility. Nelson's commentary describes peace not as a subjective feeling, but as a state of being. Some state that we are or are, can be in. A state of being. Biblically now, let's look at it. The biblical word for peace is eirene, which means to join. And here's where we start to see the difference. Peace means to join, implying a prosperity. In other words, it's a state of being free from inward and outward disturbance, freedom from all the wars going on in our lives, knowing that there is law and order and that God's in charge, freedom because we have joined up with something and have prospered because we've joined up with something or someone. So that word means to join, implying that we prosper because we join up with someone or something. So we say, how do we get that peace? We only get it as sheep of Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In Isaiah chapter 9, when the prophet describes the coming of the Messiah and describes the Messiah, he's described as the Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 2, when the angels came to the shepherds, they declared peace on earth, prosperity because something had been joined. God had reached down to the earth and joined himself with human beings through the birth of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Peace on earth, joining and offering prosperity, goodwill toward men. True peace is faith in Jesus Christ. That is right now. It's a state of being that we don't wait till we die and say, well, now they're at peace. No, it's a state of being that we know right now, right here, despite the wars and the battles that we still have peace and are undisturbed. Paul teaches us that here in our text today, and he talks a little bit more about what that peace is, that peace that passes all of our human understanding, the Bible tells us later. And I want you to know this peace, because I'm going to tell you folks, sometimes this is the only thing that gets me through life. I know we all struggle, I know we all are battling against life every day. We try to be happy, we try to be content, we try to be satisfied. But what we are really truly seeking is that inner peace. That spiritual peace, that spiritual tranquility. And you see, when God created us in His own image, He created us human, but spiritual. And since the fall in the Garden of Eden, that spiritual tranquility has been removed. Because we no longer have a right relationship with God because we're born in sin. But Paul says, since we've been justified with God or brought right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So what Paul is saying is peace comes through Christ. It comes now. It's a state of being, and we have peace because we stand now in a state of grace. In other words, God, in the fullness of time, reached down to the earth, gave us His Son as a gift. That's grace. Giving something to someone who is undeserving. In an act of grace, He gave us Jesus Christ. And we know that through faith in Jesus Christ, as the Messiah and the Prince of Peace, our Good Shepherd, we know that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace through Christ with God. That's spiritual. That's divine. That's heavenly. That's something that the world has no control over. Although you might seek happiness and satisfaction in this world, you will not have that long because the world soon destroys it. You will never get enough if you're turning to the world for satisfaction and happiness, because the more you get, the more you'll want. Not so with our faith in Jesus Christ. We can know faith, we can know peace, and we can know it right now in our lives because we stand in a state of grace because of what God did, not because what man does. So as satisfaction and happiness are earthly and centered on humanity, peace, that joining and prospering through God, is God-centered and God-focused. That's where you're going to find peace. You're going to find peace when you're lying in the preparation room of the hospital saying, Jesus, hold my hand. Hold my hand, I'm scared. You're going to find peace when you're lying in the recovery room saying, Jesus, hold my hand. You're going to find peace when you walk into the doctor's office and you're scared and you say, Jesus, hold my hand. You're going to find peace when you open up that piece of mail with an exorbitant bill inside, when you say, Jesus, hold my hand. You're going to find peace when that loved one passes away and is no longer in your life. You can say, Jesus, hold my hand, because He loves us. And His desire is to bring us back to that state of peace, to bring peace back into our lives where we have spiritual tranquility. Paul goes on to say, as we stand in the state of grace, we now stand there. It's not something future. We now stand there. We also rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, what he's saying is, faith brings hope. We not only rejoice in the present, in the state of grace that we now stand, we also rejoice in the glory of God, which we're going to experience. Folks, what better can it? How much better can it get? We stand in grace and we know that we're going to experience glory. Why? Through faith in Jesus Christ. When you know that you know that you know that that world cannot destroy you. You might die physically, you might get sick, you might have a long battle ahead of you spiritually, physically, or financially, but nothing can destroy you because Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd and He says, you're mine. And that should bring you peace. That it doesn't matter. You stand in a state of grace. And I know this is hard to swallow. It doesn't matter that you're lying on your deathbed. There's one thing on your deathbed that's going to bring you peace. And that's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That death is not the end. That that mortality is swallowed up in the immortal. And in victory. And as the prophet says, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? There isn't any. Because we already stand in a victorious state in Jesus Christ. Now, let me go on a little bit. Paul also continues to say,
We rejoice now because of that state of grace we stand in. We rejoice in the hope, the future hope of the glory of God. Not only so that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Although we suffer day in and day out, physically and in every way possible, we're going to rejoice because we know that that suffering is for a good purpose. It produces perseverance. What's perseverance? It's endurance. It gets you through day by day by day. Suffering produces perseverance. We start to see every step of the way the Good Shepherd's with us. He's not leaving us alone. And we persevere. We know that perseverance produces the character. And the character in us, the godly character, produces that hope that says, it doesn't matter what's happening here, I'm looking forward to what's happening there. But I'm even going to rejoice right now. As Job says, though he slay me, yet shall I praise him. And he says, hope does not disappoint us. It never disappoints us because God has proved to us that our hope is valid because he's poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. He spiritually testified to us, revealed to us, that our hope will not let us down. And Paul goes on to say, it's like this. At just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He said, well, there might be a time when somebody might dare to die for a good man. Very rarely, though, will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, somebody might possibly dare to die. But he says, God demonstrated how much he loves us in that not while we were good people, or not only when we became good people, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And now, since we've been justified by his blood, how much more is he going to save us now? Not only from God's wrath, but from the wars around us. For if when we were God's enemies, when we were sinful, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, brought into that right relationship, made one, how much more shall we be saved in this life, through this life? So you see, folks, not only are we saved from God's wrath, we're saved in our sufferings. Notice I didn't say saved from our sufferings. We are saved in our sufferings. Saving grace brings rejoicing. Faith brings hope. Hope brings rejoicing. Together they bring peace. And because we know we are joined with God and he will not let us down, we are peaceful sheep. When you drive around and you see sheep out in the pasture laying down, do you know why they're laying down? They're laying down, first of all, because they know, number one, they've been protected, or they are in a protective place. Sermon number one a couple weeks ago. Secondly, because they've gotten their bellies full. They've eaten and they're satisfied. They've been nourished and filled up. And now they have the third thing. They have peace. They're lying in greener pastures in a peaceful state. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Why? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That restoration of the soul is what brings peace. How does he restore our souls? He leads us to those greener pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. And he guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, he leads and he guides his dear children along, as the song goes. And David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice he doesn't say, God removes that, or he does not allow me, the shepherd does not allow me to go through that valley of the shadow of death. He says, even though I walk through it, I'm not going to be afraid because I know that he's with me. And his rod and his staff comfort me. So he's with us and he comforts us. And while we're in those places and the wars are raging around us and we're struggling with the issues of life, does he remove them? You know what he does? No, he blesses us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of all that going on, in the presence of our enemies. Right while our enemies are surrounding us, trying to destroy us, he's blessing us, preparing a table before us of blessing. No matter what's going on out there, there it is in front of us. The Lord God providing blessing for us. And goodness and love, surely, David says, will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How does he know that? How does he have that assurance? Because he knows the Good Shepherd. He knows the Lord. And he's free from all the war going on around him. That doesn't bother me. That's not the issue. Although we need to be concerned about it. Spiritually, the spiritual tranquility comes from heaven. Secondly, we have freedom from inward and outward disturbances because we have peace with God, knowing that God's in control and that God loves us as the Good Shepherd loves his sheep. My sheep know me. They know my voice. I know them. Thirdly, we're in that state of grace, knowing that no one can snatch us out of the Good Shepherd's hand. That God's in control. Every time you have a problem, remind yourself God's in control. And lastly, David knows this, and you need to know this as shepherds, or as sheep, as followers of Christ. That peace that we all long for, and we can find that Irene that we need so badly, is joining to God, comes through Jesus Christ, and gives us prosperity, spiritual tranquility, not something that the world can destroy because it doesn't come from the world, but something that lasts eternally because it came from God through the blood of Jesus Christ. As sheep, followers of Christ, we're free from war, we're free from the inward and outward disturbances, we're in a state of grace because we've joined to Christ. And that brings us peace. We need protection, we need nourishment, and we need peace. And the only person that can provide that is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray.